Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus the Christ. The text for our meditation this evening is our second reading, the epistle from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Here again, this portion. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, He has distributed freely, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, dear Christian friends, it was a time of great need. Famine had struck, and God's people were suffering. Well, at least some of God's people in one part of the world. Others of God's people in other parts of the world were doing really well. 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 tells of those who are in that latter camp. For the believers in Corinth, life was good. They were healthy, prospering, and most importantly, they had been brought to believe and confess the truth that their Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, had won salvation for them. Their sins were forgiven, the door to everlasting life had been opened to them, and victory over the power of the devil was theirs. And as members of God's family, by virtue of their faith in His Son, they were sisters and brothers of all true believers around the world. That was important, because it was those brothers and sisters who were suffering. Back home in Judea, life wasn't so good. People were starving. Goods and resources were scarce. They needed relief. And since everyone in that area was in the same boat, they were going to have to look to other parts of the world to get it. And that's where the church in Corinth comes into the picture. You see, Paul had told them about the famine and the suffering being experienced by the church in Judea. And the faith in Christ that God had so firmly planted in their hearts abounded in such joy and thanksgiving that they simply felt obligated to help. We have to do something, they said. We can't let our brothers and sisters in Christ suffer this way, not when God has so richly blessed us. We'll do anything, Paul. Whatever it takes, anything at all. Now that's the response of faith. Faith leading to thanksgiving, joy, and action. The gospel does that. It changes people. It turns selfish sinners into selfless saints. Greedy getters into generous givers. Faith recognizes the overwhelming generosity and mercy that God has shown to us in Christ, that we, who deserve nothing from Him, have been given everything. So great is our Father's love for us. And faith responds in kind. It recognizes that all we have is a trust from our Creator and that we have nothing of our own. And because Christ's sacrifice has satisfied the debt we owe, we will respond with love and trust. This is the kind of faith displayed by those Corinthian Christians. They saw a need, saw their abundance, and they made a commitment. But, as often happens, life gets in the way. Commitments even ones made in all sincerity and with every intention of being honored, can be forgotten or delayed. Enter Paul with a very loving yet firm pastoral reminder and encouragement in this, his second letter. And take note of what he says and how he says it. He doesn't come to them with threats or demands. He doesn't say, "Now you people made a commitment, so you better honor it or else." No. He simply reminds them of what God has done for them. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. And more than that, God will increase the harvest of their righteousness. What is that, you ask? What does that mean? Faith. Salvation. Their righteousness is in Christ, who had died for them. And their gifts will bring not only much needed physical relief to those who are suffering, but it will also strengthen their faith and expand the kingdom. The ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. It is multiplying God's word so that the harvest of righteousness doesn't end with you. And you also, God's redeemed children, share in that righteousness. You are part of that harvest. God has indeed multiplied the ministry of his word and continued it to the present day, extending his kingdom and enlarging his family. You share the same faith as those believers of Corinth. Your Savior, Christ Jesus, has died for you. Your sins are forgiven. Victory over death and the devil is yours. God, your God, has blessed you and provides for all your needs of both body and soul. As we gather on the eve of our National Day of Thanksgiving, we're reminded once again that God has indeed distributed freely, that he has indeed given to us who were poor, that his righteousness does indeed endure forever. We turn to him in love and faith and express our gratitude for what Christ has done for us, for what God has done for us. We say with St. Paul and the church at Corinth, "Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." But faith also doesn't stop there. Remember, the gospel changes people. It turns selfish sinners into selfless saints, greedy getters into generous givers. You also have made a commitment here at St. Andrew. You have made a commitment to the ministry of the word, to see to it that that ministry continues, that it grows, that God's people will be blessed and his family enlarged. You don't want to see the church decline. You don't want to see hurting people going uncared for. You don't want to see your children's children growing up apart from Christ. But ministry costs. Whether it be measured in dollars and cents, in hours and minutes, in hands and feet, ministry costs. I won't go so far as to say that our situation is at all like the one facing the believers suffering famine in Judea. But the reality is, this is, for us, a time of need. People sometimes say that, well, the church really only cares about me when they want my money. May that never be said of us. And if any of you have ever felt that way, and if we have ever done anything to communicate that to you, we repent. We are sorry. We want you. We love you. Because it's not about the money, but about what God's going to do with the money. The word that Paul proclaimed to the church of Corinth remains true for you today. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. See, by your gifts, others will be blessed. The salvation that is yours will be theirs. Christ will be proclaimed. His people will be strengthened and built up. And more yet may be brought in who haven't experienced the joy and the gratitude that we have. So may the work that we do here together also supply the needs of the saints and overflow in thanksgiving to God. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
For information about our congregation, for service times and schedule, please visit our website at www.standrewlcms.org. Thank you for listening to sermons preached at St. Andrew Lutheran Church in West Fargo, North Dakota, a member of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.